So I'll continue with this weekend's retreat. A couple of other things I want to say. And the reason that I choose this time, just so that you know, to talk to you, is that in my experience, after lunch is the least mentally available time to practice. So I can help you. This is okay for sound. This is working. It's easier on me than having it on my head. It was squeezing my ears. So, relaxing. When we are feeling fine, peaceful, content, fine, like that, I'm here in my life, this is good. Those moments, there is relatively little or no inattention. Is that true? Is that right? Is that your experience too? Is anybody there? Thank you. And vice versa, when we're not okay, we're not fine, when we're troubled, disturbed, there's a lot of tension going on, right? Just to be clear that we're all on the same page here. The freedom the Buddha taught was freedom from that tension, was an invitation to access and experience and live eventually without that kind of inner turmoil that's going on. So when we're tense, when we're not just fine, we're having some form or another of issue with what's happening. We want more of it or less of it or somehow to change it around, or we somehow are entangling, we're manipulating our experience. We're wanting it to be however. Is that true?
Yes.
And that very behavior is part and parcel of this, of the tension and the distress. So when I call them, as you know, some of you know me well, moon moments, I used to call them rainbow moments, but they've become moon moments. You see that incredible, beautiful little almost sliver. Or actually, tomorrow is going to be that big round one. Those moments when everything's fine. There's no sense of you, there's no sense of getting or fixing or manipulating or changing or anything with anything. That doing behavior, that need for something to be other than the way it is, isn't there. It's just not operational in those moments. Vice versa, that need to do something about something is the person who's trying to do something about something showing up. Me, moi, this is, I've got to be more of this, less of this. We can experience this presence and absence of this separate sense of me, the doer who's fixing, manipulating, busy, over and over and over and over. In fact, those moon moments are all through our day. They're happening so frequently through the day, but they aren't particularly flavorful. They're sort of ordinary moments. They're the absence of, got to do this, oh no, thrill, anxiety. The color of the manipulative moments with all of their tension are very colorful. They're very impactful. And we actually have learned grooves in our brain, Priscilla, we have learned that that's what is important, we think. We've got to get good things, we've got to get rid of the bad things, we've got to deal with this stuff, and when it's not happening, we can just go to sleep. We can go and gaze at the moon, ah. We can check out. So we tend to check out when it's okay, and we tend to get really engaged when it's problematic in some way, either exciting and thrilling and we want lots of it, or it's opposite. So we are very attuned to drama, to the extremes, the highs, the lows. And the newspapers are full of it. I mean, that's what we think is newsworthy. That's what we think is even worth speaking about when we meet each other. We don't just say, how is everything? Fine. What have you been up to recently? Well, I'll tell you the highlights and I can tell you the worst part of it. We meet and we greet and we tell the drama. And we sit quietly and we go over the drama. So we're needing to change, when I talked about changing tracks in the brain and growing new pathways, to bring into consciousness the more benign moments which we've been missing, dismissing, not bothering with. They're fine. Because those, in those moments, there is an absence of this tension and turmoil. So we come to meditation, basically, a lot of the reasons are, I mean, you said your various things this morning, is to clear away the clutter of all of those tension moments so we can actually access what's available in the quietude. You know, Thomas Merton, beautiful writer, Thomas Merton, I'd like to have met him. He said that the wisdom, somebody over here, I think it was you were talking about this morning, I said, why do you meditate? Was it you? And you said about wisdom, your inner goodness, actually, you were saying. And if somebody over here was talking about wisdom, he said our wisdom, those moments, those good qualities of ourselves, are shy. Some of you heard me say this. I've been saying it for a year or two. I love this. Shy. They're not loud and out there and being wonderfully, brilliantly, cleverly good, and they're just subtle and shy. And what's in front, what's louder, what clutters it up is the neurosis, the anxiety, the fear, the worrying, and all of that. Those seem to be louder and more important. We've given power and authority and significance to the drama, and we've done the reverse, neglected the shy, which is all there too. It's just not so noticeable to us. I think of us, our minds, as being young, immature, and kids. You know, the favorite colors for children when they're drawing is red and black because they're the most dramatic. You know, they don't go for beige and silver and stuff. We're like that inside, all caught up with a big deal. And you sit quietly in a retreat, and it's pretty boring to just be grateful to these nice people. But as soon as I think of that really irritating one, then I can think about that one for hours, What we have in our I could talk about all many different things. I think I want to just mention that those of you who are, well, all of you, some of you are very familiar with this, some of you not at all, that the most foundation teaching the Buddha gave as his first teaching was so simple. It's like he used the word dukkha. The word is dukkha for this tension, this struggling. We struggle a lot. The reason that we're struggling a lot is, as I've just been describing, as you know now for yourself, you already knew this, is that it's this wanting something to be slightly better or different or less, or somehow this need to do something about it. It's a desire to interfere with life as it is, which is not there when it's a moon moment. That's just not happening in the moon moment. So the teachings of the Buddha to help us to get to moon moments from those other tense moments, that's really. And he says, if we can recognize that, one, we're tense, and two, the reason that we're feeling tension right then is this need to do something about something. They're twinned together. You don't struggle unless you've got this belief that you can fix it, that something needs to be done here. The third, those are called the first and second noble truth. We struggle, and then we struggle because of our always having to want to believe we can fix it. The third truth is we can be free from that struggle, freedom from that behavior. And how we do it is to stop wanting it to be different. It's so simple. It's so simple, but so hard, because we've got such deep grooves. We complain. We want to fix them. We want to fix ourselves. We want to... something else. Whatever, shopping, getting, fixing, changing, manipulating. Oh, no. Oh, I had to go without power for 8.5 days recently. I'm on Salt Spring, right? We had this incredible storm. It was actually a very interesting exercise to be okay with dirty hands and brown toilets and, I got tired at night because my eyes couldn't do very much by candlelight. And just to know, how many people in the world, this is their life and has always been, will always be. It's like really first world problems. So to give up the struggle of wishing it were other. Now the thing about life is, it's always going to be up and down. It's always inevitably going to be ups and downs. the eight vicissitudes. I always say this. And so there will always be pleasant things happening. There will always be unpleasant things happening inside and outside. There will always be people being nice to us and people being mean to us. There will always be people talking about us in, you know, positive ways and in negative ways. There'll be gossiping. It's going to happen. Inevitable. This is the reality that we live in. But we, in our deep inside our survival minds, we're trying to think that it's supposed to be this way. People are supposed to be nice to me all the time. I'm supposed to be always healthy. I'm supposed to never have any kind of heartache and pain and disappointment and frustration. It's supposed to... It's ridiculous thinking. Isn't it? It's ridiculous. It's very childish. And yet we're stuck in it. And that's the reason that we've got dukkha. We just make dukkha for ourselves by not allowing the moon to just be a moon. Every moment can be a moon moment, but no, not good enough yet. No, I need it to be slightly different. I need more of this. I've got to get another color. No, that lipstick's the wrong color. It's ridiculous. We carried it to unbelievable. I mean, yes, we need food. Okay, you know, we do need to have some friends, but really, how far have we got from the basic thing? Okay, and so this moving from one and two, struggling because we want it to be different, to being able to accommodate it as it is. And I'll just complete those teachings for those who want to be reminded of it. This is the very first way the Buddha taught any of this, his awakening. After he's awakened, we struggle because we want it to be other than it is. If we stop wanting it to be other than it is and allow it to be as it is, we can be at three instead of one and two. But how do we make that shift is we practice these eight things, the fourth truth of these eight practices. And three of those are meditations. And so, relaxing. How do I bring this in? When we're in a moon moment, we're relaxed. And we're not just relaxed physically, we're relaxed emotionally. When we're not relaxed emotionally, we're disappointed, we're frustrated, we're irritated, we're angry. What are the emotions? Hurt.
Impatient. Disappointed.
Impatient, disappointed. Frightened, yeah, worried, yeah, depressed, tense. Those are feelings that we're having. So those that we have those feelings that are upset feelings are the opposite: content, peaceful, calm, happy, joyful, loving, you know, those kinds of things. Then we have energetic tensions. I don't know a better way. There isn't really an English word for this, but I think of an energy body. I know that's what Eckhart Tolle calls it. The energy body, which is very obvious to me, it is to all of us, I think, you know, when there's a kind of flinching, and when there's an opening up, and when there's a pushing into, you know, or when there's like, you know, when you reject some situation or you deliberately avoid some situation, there's this energy body of movement. You know, there's this contracted energy body and there's this opened up energy body. Hello, you're going to greet somebody, you throw your arms out. That's kind of your energy body expressing itself. And so there's that. There can be that tension in that, a heaviness in that, a tightness in that, a closeness or a softness or an openness or a calmness or steadiness of that, the pitched forward or not. All of those, the way we move, the way our bodies move, express. We can feel tension in that area. We can feel it in the heart. We can feel it in the emotions. And we can really feel it in the thinking. There's churning thinking. And there's peacefulness in the mind. In fact, the more tense we are, the more we think. And the less tense we are, we go to the moon, we stop thinking. We don't even have any words in there. There's no, it doesn't even show up with any kind of disturbance. It's soothing. Isn't that true? So thinking is like one of the best examples of tension. The more we, you know, the busyness of thinking, not awareness, not the kind of back knowing of the mind that I was talking about as answering your question. That gets more clear when we're in moon moments. Because all this little da 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 da, oh, I like that moon, oh, that's not the same as last month's moon, I think I should get a picture of that moon, I think, that goes quiet, and this like, ah, wow, grows. And so this is tense. It's churning and tight in there. And so we can relax the thinking. the thinking relaxes. You can't relax. You can't do a lot of this. What we're wanting to do is to stop doing and paying attention and giving the kind of meaning to our life which causes tension in our reaction. We can avoid it. We can distract ourselves. Some of these are meditation techniques. I'm not going to think of this now. I'm going to just count sheep, you know, then I'll, you know, calm myself down. It's relatively effective. But deeply, the whole system relaxes. The more moon moments we have, the more awake we become, the more clear, less cluttered, the more relaxed. As I said briefly already this morning, the more relaxed the system, the more we can sit still for long periods of time, the more we're okay with whatever's happening. The more the blood pressure goes down. I mean, the reason blood pressure goes down when people meditate, if it is effective for their blood pressure, is because of their being more relaxed. As some of you said this morning, we have time. Somebody over here, you were saying, we actually have time between something coming in and choosing how to respond to it, because there's more ease in the system. In fact, one of the wishes in metta is may, you know, there be ease. It isn't, the, you know, may I be thrilled and bouncing off the ceilings and having a fantastic time that we actually want. That's exhausting. But, to, you know, just to have a sense of quiet ease, ultimately, becomes, you know, one's heart's desire in a way. The sure heart's release, as the Buddha called it. And I have to say, this point just reminds me of I've done different forms of meditation and, you know, different times, different things. And when I first encountered and was really for a while there, around 2000, 2002, 3 in there, I was doing long retreats, doing concentration practice, and where the mind gets so quiet. In concentration practice, the mind gets completely quiet, no thinking. Unbelievable. And in the quietude of deep retreat, like that kind of practice, the whole system gets so relaxed. It's the most peaceful thing I've ever known. And in those states, you realize everything else that we think we want is a cheap version of this. You know, like it's just giving us temporary relief so we can have a little taste of what this is like. Really, this is what we want, is peace. You know, we think we want a new this and a new that, because when we get the new this and that for a while, we feel peaceful till it wears out or somebody spills something on it or something, and then, oh no, it was a dud and we have to return it or anything. You know. But it's the feeling that comes with it of like peaceful contentment, because it's relaxing. The heart goes soft. The mind goes quiet. The clutter sort of evaporates. The wisdom is available, that's shy. Yeah. So it just seems to me, and it did when I'm thinking of this weekend, let's really focus on how can relax this neurotic activity. We can do different things, but this weekend I want us to relax it, focus on relaxing it. Now, you can't be too relaxed when you have an untrained mind, because if you just relax, you're relaxing your mind and giving it permission to go nuts. You know, it'll just get carried away with itself if you have no awareness. But if we have awareness growing, mindfulness, then we can relax, but not relax mindfulness. So we need to access a certain amount of that mind, that knowing what's happening, as a kind of, one of the ways it's called a guard. This is a bit tricky because we don't want to be like, you know, with our machine guns, not that kind of a guard, you know. But a guard, the guard I like to think of is, there's a word for this, a concierge is a European word, French word of concierge. What's the equivalent to a concierge in English?
Concierge.
Concierge. That word. Right, that's such a good word, we can't improve on that word. So here here you've got an apartment building or something like that, and so you have concierge there. Who knows what's going on? Who knows who's coming and going? They're not just there as a kind of like person to say hello to when you walk in and out. They're actually checking who's coming in and out, and like they're not coming in with an empty bag and going out with a very full bag. You know, you're watching that. when you're the concierge. So you're aware, this person is a strange person, this is a familiar person, this person's family's visiting them, so that's who these people are. So they're sort of knowing what's going on without doing anything. You're not out there saying, who are you? You know, it's not kicking people out, it's not that kind of aggression, but it's nevertheless aware and watching, knowing. So that's this awareness role, this mindfulness. And we need to have that operational fully, or else the children of the mind, the immature parts of the mind, are just going to run amok, you know, with no training. But we want those little children to calm down and to relax, but not the concierge. The concierge, you just stay right there doing a great job. So now let's get practical. When we have an emotional wave, I already mentioned this morning, we want to be able to allow it. What happens in our experience with no training, with not watching out for this, with no concierge helping, is as soon as something occurs which is difficult, unpleasant, threatening, worrisome, is we add aversion to it. Oh no, we go, oh, what am I going to do? I mustn't do. We get resistant and pushy or hard or some form of activity that's aversive behavior. If it's lovely, something that's coming on, we tend to go like, oh, yay, oh, I like this. And we get all wanting that, involved in that. This is called greed and aversion in the teachings, basic teachings. We want to be able to observe greed and aversion when we want the concierge to go, this is getting really unpleasant here, watch out, you could get into a fight here. Or, this is delicious, watch out, you're going to get all caught up in how you can get more of yourself. I want that. Please, I would like that, where are you? I want that recipe of those bliss balls we had for lunch. Instead of just going, this is very nice, thank you, Lise, so much, they were delicious. It's like, oh, and by the way, I need one. The mind gets lit, and we forget, the concierge forgets, and we find ourselves now involved again in whatever the thing is, the aversion or the greed. So we want to be able to relax that, not to relax the concierge who's saying, this is really delicious, thank you very much, not too sweet, slightly crunchy. But the little kid who's just like, more, 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 she needs to relax. She needs to say, oh, this was very nice. It's okay, relax. It's not relaxed to be wanting more. It's not relaxed to be pushing away. So that part relaxes, but not the concierge who knows what's going on. In fact, if the concierge isn't functioning and doesn't know what's going on, this little one is going to do that because it's got no mother to help it. It's got no wisdom to say, you're getting a little excited here, watch out. Or you're getting a little irritated here, watch out, this is difficult. But if the concierge is there, you know, it's able to say, like, for instance, I didn't have power for 8.5 days, instead of like, oh, this is terrible, oh my God, don't they know, no, no, no. It's able to go like, there are people who live this all the time. You know, it makes me just grateful that for plumbing, I just think plumbing is fantastic. Thank you, Romans, for realizing water was a good thing to have in your house, you know. That's the concierge speaking. But the little one isn't, she's relaxed. She's just like, you know, this is just what it's like. You know, this is a huge storm. No one's to blame for this. And there's a relaxing, allowing. We'll get to thinking tomorrow, and I also want to talk about relaxing the sense of self and stuff. It's a little more sophisticated tomorrow. But today, we've been focusing on the body to begin with. We want to keep the body relaxing. When the emotions come and go, we want to simply relaxing with the emotions, not relaxing in the emotions or from the emotions, but with them. You get a wave of irritation or a wave of desire. Make space. That's how we relax with the emotions. We're not making them happen. We can't stop them from happening. They're life. It's what happens. We have feelings about things, memories. You know, we're sensory beings. Allow them with the concierge, holding them with respect. The concierge makes space. Okay. That's my new word for mindfulness now. It'll be my new word for the next few months. I was an executive assistant for a long time there. So with emotion, and then with the energy body. Well, the heart, let's talk briefly about the heart. When the heart is stressed and tense, we can feel it. it gets tight, it gets hard, doesn't it? Yeah. Sometimes it gets heavy. Heavy is, you know, heavy is sad. Sad can be heavy. That's not necessarily tense. But when it's like hateful, you know, or when it's discriminating against or critical, there's a tension in the heart, isn't there? Some people can feel the heart more easily than others, and I'm not saying that you're all supposed to do it my way. This is just the language I use, and so just offering it. But for me, I can actually perceive these different parts of my being and when they're tense and relaxed. And so I like that. I'm familiar a lot. I've deliberately made myself familiar with this part of me that cares about things. And if it's being hostile or critical, it's I don't know what the word is, tight and kind of jaggedy. And when it's being friendly and it's caring about something, interested in somebody, I ask somebody's name who I could easily not bother with, somehow there's something gets softer and it gets kind of a little tender in there. Singing in this choir last night, I told you we had a concert last night. There was 180 people in this choir. It's unbelievable. So singing with this huge resonance, you know, and there's a big green room at the place where the concert was. And so we had all of our stuff, our bags and our food and everything was in there. And because we've been singing together, I don't know 180 names. I only know about four names, you know, the women who sing around in the section I'm singing in. But we all just left our stuff in there because we're all friends. We knew we're friends because we were all singing the lovely stuff together. So there's this feeling of friendly trust. And it's like just to be in a big bunch of apparent strangers. We're not strangers at all. It's the same thing in here. I can feel the heart is relaxed. I like the word safe. And when we're discriminated against or when we don't know if we're understood, that there's tension in the heart, yeah? Tension in the being and whatever you call it, whether it's the heart or the... So this afternoon, we want to develop this settledness that I was talking about before lunch, this calming, that's why we're doing relaxing, to calm and settle down the mind. And so what really comes next is, as we practice, as we relax, is the stability, being able to stay. And so we want to stay with our attention. It's our attention. Our bodies can stay. We can lock them in here. But the attention is running all over the place. We want the attention to relax so that it can stay. And we want it to be able to stay in the body. We want it to be able to stay with some part of the body, some experience that you're experiencing in your body. Generally, we use the breath. A lot of people call these anchors for the attention. The body breathing, the diaphragm moving, the abdomen moving up and down, the breath moving in and out. The rib cage moving, expanding, contracting. The breath starting lightly, becoming fuller and faster and richer, and then softer and thinner and fading away. And then another one, the other direction, something like that with the breath. Or another beautiful area to settle your attention is in your hands. Is to bring your awareness into the fact that you're in this body, the whole posture of the body, a relaxed, comfortable body, that's a great practice. And then with time, settling into some part, and your hands, I picked hands. I've been doing this for a few years because the hands are so sensitive. You can feel so much with the hands all the time. And the hands, like some of the hands is way more sensitive than some of the other. The back of the hands aren't sensitive particularly. The whole palm surface is way more sensitive. And the fingers are more sensitive than the heel. And right in the middle is a little hollow without much sensitivity. But all the rest of the palm is sensitive. And the most sensitive is around here, around the edges of the nails. Extremely sensitive. Can you just feel that in your own hands? And so they feel, because they're so sensitive, different things. They can sense. My hands are up in the air now. I can sense the air touching different parts of my hands. And I can feel that more with certain parts of them than other parts. And when I'm sitting like this, I can feel flesh. The heel of my left hand is feeling my forearm of my right arm. And the rest of that left hand, palm, is feeling fabric. And 1.5 fingers is feeling a button. And my right hand is feeling nothing but flesh, but wool. It's actually cashmere from India, my new jacket. Actually, it's not new, it's old. And the other half of my hand, 2/3 of my hand, is not touching anything, it's feeling air. they're feeling all these things all the time. And that's just the surface. I can feel if they're tense and if they twitch, if they're heavy or warm or sweaty or dry. And I can feel inside them, and I can feel them pulsing, and I can feel them tingling all the time. And sometimes I can actually feel the throb of my heart in there. When I really pay attention, I can feel it now. They're amazing. So they're really useful as a way to gather your attention and to settle in, because they're so interesting, because there's so much that can be felt. Without you doing anything, you're just simply using these appendages, these brilliant things, as a home base to rest your attention. And the key is rest, because we're talking about relaxing. You want to rest your attention here, not hold your attention there, not grip your attention there, not cling in there. Just do nothing else. Go nowhere else. Surrender to your hands. Just feel your attention relaxing into your hands and getting really familiar with them. Same thing with the breath, if you use the breath. It's not drive your attention into and narrow it down into the breath. Relax everything else and just come into, fall into, sink into all this activity going on in your chest. So you pick an area and you relax into it. And that's how to grow concentration. We tend to have a typical thing. It's like, I should do this and I mustn't do that. So I'm going to try and hang on to my breath and not think thoughts. That's all tense making. You know, it's hard work, it's tiring, and you're going to fail, obviously, because the mind isn't going to want to surrender anyway. So if you relax, you're just inviting it. Come, settle down. Here, just be here. And it'll run away, and so come on, just be here. Gently, gently, again and again, inviting it to settle down. Oh, it's so much nicer to do it that way. And then you'll enjoy it, and then you won't be judging yourself for failing. You're not doing anything. You're just let all my other busy stuff, I'll deal with you later. I'm going to surrender to this. Let me just hang out with these hands. So it's playful, it's surrendered, it's soft, it's relaxed. But it's not so relaxed that I'm just going to hang out with my hands or not, and I'll just go shopping otherwise if it gets boring or whatever. Otherwise, there'll be no growing. So the concierge is like, yep, just the hands. We don't need to go to Paris till tomorrow. Okay. Is that making sense? Anchoring, relaxing, emotions, relax them. When you feel that energetic thing, just soften, see what happens. And keep up every once in a while, if it helps you, being grateful. And the body, of course, relax the body and sweep through the body. If that's helpful, do that again and again. Okay, and now I'm just going to stay with the breath. Now I'm going to go through the body. Now I'll just say a few thank yous, and now I'll stay with the hands. So not too busy, not too many. Pick something from my smorgasbord. I've already given you quite a few dishes.